Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're watching and listening to the Cosmic Switchboard Show. We have old friend Larry Warren with us, and we're going to talk about a lot of things, including this faux UFO, excuse me, UAP disclosure that we're seeing kind of unfold slow as molasses. But who better to have talk about this and critique it than someone who's actually in the field there at Capel Green, confronted aliens, confronted a landed craft, dealt with years of harassment and abuse, and lived to tell the tale. So, without any further ado, Larry, welcome back to the Cosmic Switchboard Show.
Thanks, James, buddy. Good to be back, pal.
Well,
It's been a while.
it's been a while. Tell me what you think. I mean, now even Obama is getting into the act talking about aliens. And one quick note, my browser, when I turn my computer on, is defaulted to Bing, MSN. And every time I
Right.
open a browser, there's just reams of UFO stories on the news stories, right? Where, and none of them
Yeah.
are like ridiculing, making fun of, or making light of. They're almost like matter of fact. So something is going on. And like I said, even Obama is getting in on it. So the floor is yours, Larry. Tell me what your thoughts are on all this.
I thought that interview with Obama was AI, so it isn't, right? I can't tell anymore. It's
Well, I didn't even
AI
watch it. I
everywhere.
can't stand looking at the guy, but I didn't even
It
watch
was
it.
I know, me neither. But Michael wasn't with him, but oh, that should raise some eyebrow. But he said that aliens exist, a word I don't really use because I don't know what these are. I never really have. I keep being told I saw aliens by people that weren't with me, but good for them. They know more than me. I'm looking at the blue circle with done speaking. So if I'm like, I don't know what to do with that. But yeah, the problem I have these days, because I did the disclosure, the real one, in 2001. And do you know what? Many of those people I did it with, it was a 21 witnesses. I don't remember. 25 years ago this year, they are deceased. There was some a lot of. There was one guy that used to fly Harry Truman on the original Air Force One kind of deal. So I'm sure all these folks are have passed on. And but I'm still here. A couple of us are here. But I notice nowadays, as James is, that they don't, if you listen, like Roswell is rarely brought up. Rendlesham, I'm telling you, whatever version of it or personality you like or whatever, that's not brought up at all. Forget me. I mean, it's just not mentioned. Anything before 2014, 2017, tic tac thing, whatever. Anything before that has been vaporized. The abduction phenomena, very, very valid and important to speak about. Never mentioned by these Corbells and the Ross Coulthards, my dear friend, over your way in Australia. Love to visit him one day. And then, nothing. Maybe you're seeing more than I do, but there is absolutely nothing about. It just seems to be this very, and the UAP, the virtue signaling three letters, I call it. Now, the people that so love that, a lot of researchers in my day, Alan Hynek and all that, I knew all those people were dead. They're gone. And I was a kid. Now I'm 65 this summer. You wouldn't know it, though, would you? And we have all that history has been seems to be intentionally erased. Different aspects of the UFO phenomenon that's very real has been erased. I read a like I'm amazed Gary Heseltine put his book out, Non-Human. It's on Amazon, and it's very good. It's a good book on the Rendlesham, the most current, and but books nowadays, my book was in the other guy I wrote it with, that we had to go through agents, and we had big, Jean Le Carré's agent, I think it was the guy named Perry Nolan, and he wanted me to get rid of the other guy, and I lived by a code. I did not do that. I could tell him for years, and then, well, you know what he did to me. But away from all that, that's ancient history. But the book business, you put it out, but I read that 97% of the population don't even own a book in their home. And I hope that's not true, but it's a scary time, and it's all internet But the virtue signaling thing by the subjects shining lights these days are seems to be UAP. Now the government came up with that, the UAP, and these are people that the skinny little weeds, aren't they? Most of them. We're going to fight the government. We're going to stand up. That's the weakest people I've ever seen in my life, and they're taking on the government. And yet they've embraced the federal bootlicking. They've done that, the virtue signaling, and they've erased the history. They probably don't know the history. The only one out there doing some historical things is Richard Dolan, who I know, nice enough guy. I mean, you need a vaudeville hook to get him off stage. He loves to talk, but he's a historian, and he does try to bring things up in his fireside chats. It's not kidding. It's more about the personalities these. I'm not knocking Richard at all. He said I hope I get the mental health help I need when the other guy did me in. So he's, and he published the book Halt and Woodbridge, which dismantles Halt, etc. And yet now they deny they ever published it. It was never written. And that's accepted by the UAP crowd. They probably don't even, so long ago, they probably didn't even know about it. But the real whistleblowers out there, and that brings us to these never-ending hearings. They know a lot. Oh, I'm told this and that, and I've seen a couple of those pilots did say they saw things. But real whistleblowers, they saw it, they lived it. I'm one of them. With I had no protections. I've always, with the disclosure in 2001, I said, and everyone said, I will happily, I say it on the in the film, on the stage in the National Press Club. I will stand, swear on the under oath that what I say, in front of Congress. Of course, my phone never rang in the last 25 years from Congress, but that Tim Burchett, it seems like a real cool congressman or a senator. I don't know what he is. He doesn't even know about the real whistleblowers. He's seeing this current crop of David Gresh and all these great storytellers. Fantastic. Not one bit of proof done. And then they go to a skiff, all these meetings, fancy names that the average general public doesn't know anything about or what they are. And that's it. It's just all this kind of a circular. I haven't seen this new film, the grand film that's out. Age of Disclosure, is it? I haven't seen it. But I know people that have, and they say it's again a lot of really good wishful thinking, but I could be wrong, but that's what the opinions I've had. Now you see that comes to our film that is a non-film right now because of internal BS that has nothing to do with me. You're in it. You've seen it in Australia on the big screen. It's been shown in England on the big screen last summer. And it's like the wheels are off it. It's because of internal, all kind of underhanded things going on there. And it has nothing to do with the government, nothing to do with my enemies out there who are maybe are deceased now too. Never know. And nothing to do with that. It's done all internal. It's like, let's light a fuse and just swallow a firecracker. That's what one person's done, and then other people are mad, and they're not going to get unmad. And I'm sitting out here swinging in the wind, and so are the other witnesses in the film, which serves other people's. They're going, oh, fantastic. We don't even have to comment. They've done themselves in, So it's a real ugly thing. I do wonder why the abduction phenomenon. I see the Obamas, I don't know if this is true on the internet, who knows. Are I've read all kinds of things about me that they're only half true. Kidding. The Obamas are financing or backing a film about Barney and Betty Hill. And I did a gig with Betty Hill back in the, oh God, it has to be in the 90s. She was very cool. We smoked as much as each other. And she goes, I know who we are. She goes, you're real. A lot of them in there at this conference. She goes, they're not. So that was an honor. But the movie with Estelle Parsons and James Earl Jones in 75, even though the special effects weren't very good, were they? But the acting, they're world-class actors. So I can't imagine they'll have Beyonce as Betty Hill, who happens to be white, but that's a bad thing these days. And then
Say he's
I
going to
don't
be
know,
in it.
Tom. Oh, I'm just guessing.
Okay.
I've read that, so I don't know who's going to be in it. I don't. But they're pretending like it's not been done before. You know, it's a
Yes.
very famous event. But I see the comments under this post. It was that, you know, people don't even know. Oh, sounds I fascinating and all. No idea of the history again. You have to know the history of the subject, and it's a long one. You know it. And everyone has their own kind of internal view. I knew every, you don't hear about Bud Hopkins anymore, friend for 30 years, not just the other guy's friend. I knew him before the other guy, by the way. And Alan Hynek and Dave Jacobs, and I can go down the list of these historical figures that I knew and was friends with. Hynek was very supportive of me, and I was the only one to be supportive of because everyone else was still serving or afraid rightfully to come forward. Steve LeBlum was the second Rendlesham guy to make a public statement, and that was in Massachusetts in gotta be 1983. I went public in 82 by mistake through Betty Hill, not Betty Hill, Betty Andreasen and Robert, who's written in my book, and now both of them are deceased, but Bob Lucas in the film. So we have a lot of deceased people in the film. You got some music of people of note in the film. I have my best friend. My parents are in, my mother's voice is in it. My dad's in it. And no, Deborah Warren, he didn't have dementia. Rat. Keep that in, James. It's a family thing. She's not family to me. I only met this woman once, and what my brother Bill was doing marrying that thing, I don't know. God bless his soul, because whoo. He's got a swimming pool out back. Just a hint. Anyway, yeah, that's another little thing I'll circumvent right there. And my dad lived till 91. He's a very sharp guy, but you know, he only gets so much time. Oh, this subject's so full, you know, even sometimes from family. But my family's very supportive. My sister doesn't believe in UFOs or want to go near it, but she's thrilled about I'm in this movie or when I'm on TV and ooh, that's my, but she could care less about it. But yeah, the whole thing is being written, rewritten, I believe. The whole, not just Rendlesham. Rendlesham is a mention now. I see a program here where we have a thing called Blaze. I don't know if it's an international channel. I have no idea. But they show a lot of UFO documentaries. There's one in particular that was produced in America. I hasn't, no one's brought this up to me, but it was called, it's a few years back. So I'd love to sue, but you know, it cost a fortune and it's very hard to get judgments nowadays. But I want this poll because I'm watching it and it's a show called UFO Files Reopened. Very skeptical hit piece on numerous things. Well, they do Rendlesham. And of course, the people behind the film, they're consultants with one Richard Doty. And you see him being very praised nowadays. He was an OSI counterintelligence guy who just talks total bull on these Gaia interviews. He teaches us, oh, yeah, you're just amazing nonsense he comes out with. He's never met me. I sent him an email once. And I said, please send. Show me the email. I want to see this thing. I don't remember sending. I don't even know your email address. Begging him to listen to my story. I don't beg anyone anything. And these are the characters. They reinvent themselves now, and they're just the darlings of the yakking circuit out there, I guess. I don't do speak. I went to Spain to speak last year and ended up in the Spanish jail. So my enemies will love that. My passport was stolen, and it's not like I'm too old for this crap. That was horrible. I spent more days in Spain than I intended to Madrid in a jail. But I got released to do the gig and then had to deal with our embassy, which was, if you haven't been through it, folks, believe me, in a foreign country, it's not a good time. And this was to promote this guy's movie, you know? And when I mentioned it to that guy, he said, well, I didn't ask you to go there. And I'm like, whoa. So that starts giving you hints, right?
Sympathy
So
and
I've covered a lot
empathy.
of subjects. Good night.
Well,
Well, I didn't even want sympathy, or it's just that look. I was there for this. I went through this. You know, when I was younger, that would have been a one-arm push-up. But You don't fly in somewhere, sleep in a terminal because you can't get in, and then get escorted into a prison for 2 days. That was quite a thing. And I was saved by this guy named Mohammed from Marseille, who happened to be probably in an alternative lifestyle. Let's leave it that way. Heavy. I don't mean gay. I mean heavy lifestyle. And he said, "You don't belong in here." And there was blood on the walls and this, all kind of things. Armed guards. But they didn't know where to put me. I couldn't eat for 2 days because I wasn't under the Red Cross. And they almost deported me to America because to the United States. The embassy was not helpful. In fact, they switched. That's a CIA station in Madrid, by the way. I found that out. The person on the phone when I called the embassy from the police shop there, she passed me on another guy, and he knew exactly. He goes, "Larry, you're going to get deported. That's it." And hung up on me. This American guy. I swear to God, that happened. Even the cops are like, "What?" But the head of the National Police in Madrid, it was Columbus Day weekend. It's a great story. Everyone was off because it was a holiday in Spain. So he got word of it, and someone connected to this conference. They're very connected people there that put that on, and not just in the UFO. And he, under his recognizance, released me. A letter came through within an hour of being put on a plane. So the adventures never end, but now I'm afraid to go out of my house after that. And I had to get a new passport. I had to take, it's horrible. It's very expensive. It's just been paid off, paid back all the, people are very kind. It's very expensive. And I wasn't paid to do it. I was promoting this film. And he did a little piece for the conference, but I was so burned out from my translator, Chris, couldn't keep up with me. Most of the people there didn't speak English. So it was very awkward. So nothing against Spain. It was just I got targeted. And I've flown since the 70s, and I always know how to secure my documents. And whoever got me was a pro. Stone Cold Pro. It wasn't found on the plane. I was hit going up the gangway, into the Madrid airport. And by the time I got to the top, I'm like, "Oh, okay, get my passport out." It was about 9 at night, 10, and I'm walking. There was nothing to find. It was horrible. It was just the worst. Don't let it happen to you, folks. But I think it was targeted thing, definitely. But that's not a government thing. People are, "Oh, maybe." I don't know. It's a lot of effort to stop you from speaking somewhere, but the government, they have flights, the Siberia airline, and there are people that will travel on that to look for people with Yankee passports or British passports and things, and they're worth a lot of money, and they're highly professional at what they do. So I just got targeted. You want more good news, don't you?
Well,
Hello.
you're doing fine. I was just.
Well, the problem is I'm seeing done speaking because, folks, I can't see the camera on this thing. I don't know why, so it's confusing me. I'm thinking I'm talking to a blue dot. But yeah, that's what happened. There's never anything good out of this stuff, is there? But I do see James. And what's your thoughts? I see my earpiece is doing well. It's an erasure of the history, a really bona fide history of the subject.
Yes,
And
and
the people commenting nowadays are newbies and they don't know anything about it.
no, they
As
don't.
soon as I see UAP, I literally get mad if I see someone use UAP
Yes.
just to fit in. Especially, I find it annoying when it's veterans of the subject.
Yes,
I'm
people
not
have been
talking
around
about
long
witnesses.
enough. They should know better.
But they want to fit in with the current thing, I wouldn't know what to do. I get tarred and feathered because I'd say, "Look, don't be using the UAP around me," because you're standing up against a system that's suppressed this stuff for 80 years, is it, or almost 80, publicly, and done a lot of damage to real witnesses out there, and yet you that don't have just stories that can prove things, as you saw the science in the film proved again. The spot where my thing happened on Capel Green, but that was done with modern day science. That went on too long in the film too. Just tell the thing, boom, this is the science. Most people weren't science people. And then, of course, we had soil analysis done back in the 80s, late 80s, and that showed anomalous stuff only in that spot. So, and people need to see this, you know. And my enemies will just literally jump off a bridge. They'll be so furious. You can't make that stuff up, you know. And no one was the movie, the real idea of the film was, you know, I take the polygraph, would I be willing to? Geez, I think that might have been Gary Haseltine before he left the project after 3 years. Couldn't blame him really at this point. And I've always wanted to, you know, CNN wanted to do one, a follow-up to the 85 UFO, the Bentwaters incidents, folks. It's on YouTube. You know, none of those witnesses have ever spoken publicly again. And you know, where's it go? I don't forget what I was saying.
No, those
Hello?
were all cogent points you were making because so much of it has been memory
Sure.
hold. For example, we hear of Richard Doty making all these waves, and people that get him on their podcast that interview him, he shows up
Yeah.
on Gaia TV. They don't know the kind of damage he's done. Literally, he was trained.
He led to a suicide of a man, and you know, he just said, yeah, you know, Benowitz. You know, I remember when I was
Benowitz.
new in this, and Doty's name came. I never met the guy in real life. Lucky for him, I never met him because he's bullshitted about me too, and he just puts the stuff out there, and you know, gets confronted with it, and just moves on. You
Just
look at
like
the
profile,
guy;
that's why,
it's.
yeah.
You know, he was vaporized for many years, and now he's this embraced, nice, speaks nonsense. So the people that are embracing it, what does it say about their mentality? You know,
Yes,
it's scary.
the old term that they've used, rehabilitated, his reputation largely because people don't know who or what he was about. He caused problems
Yeah.
for Benowitz. He caused problems for a number of researchers. He's been known
Yep.
to feed people disinformation in the
Yeah,
past.
he tried it on me, saying I sent a, as far as I, and who was the other guy? There was a guy who I did meet that said, I have a big, he was the Bill Moore, William Moore back in the 80s.
Yes,
Remember him
yes,
with the Beatle haircut? And,
yes.
you know, and he came up to me at the, I spoke at, what was it? Kennedy spoke there, American University in Washington at the 40th MUFON thing. I think it was the, one of the last MUFON things I've ever done. I detest that organization. Not everyone in it, but they let my old co-author do this ridiculously long bio and just write absolute bullshit about me, like the book was pulled and because I was a liar. I pulled the book. I've got all the documents from the publisher. He wanted it pulled too because there was a financial issue. Leave it at that. But this is the type of character, and I worked with that person 30 years. But anyway, away from that, in fact, I met him for the second time at that. It was in 87. Been around a long time, folks, before the Tic Tacs. And they, he came up to me, this William Moore. He was the kind of a current hype kind of guy. And he said, I have your whole file. I go, really? Because I can't get a hold of my file from the Air Force. And I didn't believe him. He was a snaky kind of guy. I don't know where he is now. But the Doty name was always around. I remember hearing it. Of course, back in when I started in 82, and once the Hulk memo came out in 83 in June, because of my information, like that half the people out there don't even know what the Hulk memo is, but it verified these events. And they that's when you're around the current thing, and that was Alan Hynek. I remember spoke to him on the phone the first time, then did a few conferences that he was at, hung out with him. He was okay. He wasn't well the last time. And that's how I got to know Bud Hopkins in 83, and he was trying to get the abduction thing across. I met Whitley Strieber way before communion when he was just looking at these conferences and things. And he's the one that told me I should write a book in 80, 85. You know, that's how I know all these people. But now a lot of them adapt to this kind of pseudo UAPology or whatever, and I extend the P. You have the Corbels that every other word is an F, though I'm not the cleanest speaker in the world. With George Knapp, and I know George Knapp, and I met him years and years ago. I met Bob Lazar in 88, 89 at John Lear's house when he still, the weekend he got caught for going out to the place, I went out with them out to the S Area 51 when you could get close to it. John with the telescope. I'm one, on that video. I'm in it. You can't even. I said, don't put my name out. We got caught in all this. John's always stood with me, but it was such a different thing. And, John's deceased now, but this Corbell guy, it's all about him, man, isn't it? Just, hey, man, I'm there. They think, someone called me a gangster and all. I saw this. I'm like, son, you wouldn't be, you're no gangster at all, bro. Where do these people come from? I don't know. I don't want to sit here and trash people, but because I'm sure, but the arrogance and self-aggrandizement that you see from them, I mean, it's always been on the subject, but these days with the internet, it's just anyone and his mother can come on out and just make themselves this cult of personality. And they've got nothing to say, nothing to offer, nothing to put on the table. None of them.
That's one of the problems with the internet. I'm all for free speech, but you have all these people, somewhat unstable, some of them, and you don't
Totally.
know where the fact ends and the fiction
I've met a lot of them, believe me.
Yes. And if you look back at some of the documents that have come through via Freedom of Information, you can even see Doty's name when he was working OSI out of Kirtland Air Force Base and other places. The guy had his
Wow.
finger in a lot of pies, causing all this trouble. And also, we don't hear about all of the pilots in the old days. You knew Commander Graham Bethune, one of the
I did.
he was at that National Press Conference, I
Yeah.
think, and he was one of
Yes,
the
he was.
pilots.
Yeah, I knew Graham before that because he was from the East Coast, and I knew there were some people at that event I had never met, and there was some views that I went, I don't know, but for the most part, they were all there for the same reasons, and that was the large, to this day, James, that disclosure event that Greer put on. People like him or don't like him. It's a popularity thing, really, isn't it? But he was straight with me, got me. I lived in England then and still do. Flew over. It was before 9/11 happened, a few months, wasn't it? And he, Graham, there was Richard Haynes that dealt with all the pilot
All
sightings,
the
Dr.
pilot
Richard
sightings,
Haynes.
yes.
And he collated, you don't hear about him and his work anymore. There's a friend of mine, Paul Bartholomew, who's a New York State researcher. He specializes a lot in the Bigfoot situation, which exists, folks. I know. Sorry, I know. And but he deals with a lot of. He'll bring up historic things. I'm always happy to see people do that with no agenda, with no angle. It's just this happened, this so and so, this and that. And you don't see it now. And the Doty guy, though, every time I see him with that kind of like. Are you buying this kind of look on his face? Just I think he comes up with this just before he does these shows, and they just love it, man. They love it. But you don't see any of the old guard anymore. You
Oh,
don't see
no.
even Holt. You don't even see Kirk Charles Holt anymore, who I know he's getting up there, but we all are. And I'm not a fan at all, especially when he attacks my family and all kind of things. But yeah, you don't even see that anymore. It's so rare. In fact, the cold hard interview we did, Steve Longera, another witness who's in the film, and the Dion director was there. He was there. I think Dion didn't want to really fight back on him. I'm like, wait, I've made this film. We know because he was afraid, well, maybe he can affect my career in Australia. If I went back there, I don't know. Don't know what people think and what they do. But I didn't take any crap from Coulthard. And I don't think this Rendlesham was way beyond Coulthard's pay grade, way beyond it. I could tell immediately he was clueless. He just knew what he heard from Holt years ago, slander and all, and whatever Holt's ever-changing version. Of course, in the film, you saw where he's talking about aliens, his words, trying to break into a building during the events. You remember that?
Yeah. The utter hypocrisy to
And
criticize
I,
you for saying you saw these beings in a clearing, but he's saying he saw a being inside the base trying to get into a building, which has happened at other air bases and stuff, but so it's not even really unusual. But it just
His
shows the utter hypocrisy.
beings were to his liking, I guess. And you know what? People see that, and I posted a little. I filmed it off of TV secretly. The director can sue me. I don't care. And I put it on, that little site I have, the Napalm one. I don't want to say it because I don't like people trying to join it. And I remember the guy wrote my book with me. He goes, "Oh, he only has a little site with 600 people. That's all I want. In fact, there's double what I want on that because there's so many lunatics." And so you get, we have questions and people have to join it. And it's just a thing so I can keep track of things and, and post any new information if it is. Have a bitch about the state of the subject and other people do things, but it's not a troll site, you know what I mean? And we got rid of them years ago. And but I let 90% of the people try to get in, I reject because they don't even go, they'll follow any three simple rules. And then there's just three questions about Rendlesham that if you know, they none of them get them right or even try to answer. Goodbye. What are you here for? And then you see they have 3,000 groups they're in. But yeah, it's a very naughty, naughty subject and always has been, to be honest. If you read my very true book, Left at Eastgate, contrary to it's I'm not very UFOology friendly in it, if you remember. Not a good way to get speaking gigs, is it? But I was written really for people outside the subject. I was hoping, Capel Green was made in it for people outside the subject and not for the people in it. I don't even know who's in it anymore. And everyone I know are probably in nursing homes or, in the great beyond. What else can I complain about?
When I read
Looking at.
Left at Eastgate, it's a little funny story how I read it in the first place. I was unemployed in those days, of course. You actually had to go places and drop resumes off and hopefully get an interview. Well,
Right.
after I do my round of resume dropping and interviews for the day, I would go to a what was it? It was a popular bookstore, Borders. I don't know if they're still
Borders,
around.
that's right.
Yeah, I
Probably
used to
not.
go there. I used to go there.
Reading is bad now, so they're
Yeah,
gone.
I used to go there and read. And so one fine day, I find your book there. I go, holy cow, look at this. And so I sat there, and over a span of a couple of days, I read the whole thing, right? And then you can tell
Wow.
who's getting hired because, the other regulars that are out looking for jobs, you can tell they're all well dressed. They start dropping out of sight. So you get the idea, okay, that guy must have got a job. So I'm sitting there
Yeah.
reading this book and I'm looking at it from the perspective of military history because that's what all these
Right.
books are. I'm not surrounded by UFO books. I study military history. I've got an
I know
interest
you
in
do. Yeah.
UFOs because that's what I've been involved in. But I look at it from a,
Yeah.
even though I've only been a civilian in this life, I grew up in a Navy family. So I look
I
at it from a
know.
military perspective. So when I'm reading your book, I'm going, this is grade A military history. Just forget about all the
Wow.
UFO stuff for a second, but just the military response, the military actions, the reactions. This is classic stuff. And I read it like in 2 days.
Thanks.
And then,
Wow. Thank you. That's a review. I wish we put you on on the dust jacket. We have a lot of names on that dust jacket that turned on me like a hot potato. But
well, look at some
you
of the
know
other
how.
people who are not mentioned. Like you mentioned Roswell. You got Donald Schmidt, who's a living legend in my estimation. They're the kind of work
He's
he's
in the
doing.
movie.
Yeah, he's in
He's
a
in the
movie.
film.
Yeah, and he supported you to the hilt. And
He did.
his work on Roswell is superb. Him and Tom Carey. I've heard that Tom's health isn't what it used to be.
Oh, sorry.
But maybe I could be wrong about that. I don't know. But just the work that they've done.
Yeah.
He's not being invited to congressional hearings. It's this new,
No.
these young Turks that have popped up with no reference to the past. If you just go by the work of two Richards, not Dolan, Richard
I
Haynes
know.
and Richard
That's right.
Hall. Just those
That's
two
right.
guys, and you go,
I knew both of them. Yeah.
yes. Oh, I've had some of their books. And if you just look at the voluminous number of airline, air crew, pilot sightings recorded by Richard Haynes, that
That's right.
alone blows, the whole secrecy thing through the roof, right? And then if
It
you look at
does.
Richard Hall's work and the wide variety of abductions, of encounters, of electromagnetic phenomena, he was into all of it. Now, did you know Leonard Stringfield?
You know what? I did via I was a lovely guy he was. I recall in the early 80s when my name started floating around the subject, sadly, I somehow, don't know how, I don't remember, maybe Hynek gave my number or anyway, he called, I had a couple phone calls, conversations with Leonard, but I don't believe I met him. I was quite young in those days, and a lot of the names in the subject were older than my parents, or up in their era, their age group, if not older. So, but he was a lovely guy, and he dealt with the triangles, the triangular craft, and all that, right? He was specialized in that
Also, the
before
crash
anyone did,
retrievals.
if
He
I.
was the first one really to push the UFO
That's
crash
right.
retrievals, retrievals of the third kind.
So we had some phone calls, and I can't say I met him. I don't believe I ever did. And he was a bit getting up there, at that time. But I did have some nice conversations on the phone with him.
Well, he was another old school guy, ex-Air Force intelligence in World War II. He was
Oh, I
flying.
see.
He was
I didn't know
flying
that.
past, I think it was an island offshore of Okinawa or Iwo Jima, I can't remember which, but there was three glowing objects outside of the transport plane he was in, and that's when he got interested in the subject. And then over the
Yeah, that.
years, he see the classic book he wrote, Situation Red, the
That's
great
right.
1973 UFO Wave, I forget the subtitle. At the very end of that book, he mentions a story of, and this is circulated on the internet. A cousin of Secretary of State Cordell Hull was a reverend, and Cordell Hull took the reverend to a basement level beneath the Capitol building in D.C. and showed him an alien body and a non-human body, at any rate, inside of a glass tube. And Stringfield just kind of threw it out there at the end of the book. Lo and behold, he got an avalanche of all these letters from people over the years who'd either took part in crash retrievals, seen retrieved craft in secure facilities, seen alien bodies, and that begat his UFO crash retrieval research. And they never bring him up. He is the godfather of all that legacy. So they're using more
I
terminology on
agree.
this, legacy programs, right? Well, Stringfield was the one that brought all that to light, and he got death threats
He
when he
did.
was going to give his first speech about the subject at Dayton, Ohio, of all places, right by Wright-Patt. He had to
The
change
hot
all these
zone.
hotel rooms because these government agents were after him, right? That's
I
the,
remember that.
yeah.
I remember hearing about that. Oh, good Lord. I'll tell you, he was a nice man. I remember that. And we had some, I knew he was a veteran. And see, World War II, that's the era, I mean, my dad was Korean era. So a lot of, Hynek was quite old then, he's an old guy. And Christ, maybe they were my age now. I don't know. But they're all like talking to your parents back then, might as well have been. And he was a lovely guy, and I have few good words for some folks in this subject, but he's one that respect to him, and he was a pioneer. Hynek and I got along great, and I know the history with Alan and all that, but. And his son Paul, is that he's out there. I've never met or spoken to him. He wasn't in the subject in those days that I know of. So I don't remember how, but someone gave me, Hynek wanted to speak to me, and he lived in Scottsdale, Arizona. So this is back on the phone. So the phone bill must have been ridiculous. But so I called, and his wife, Mimi, I think was her name, and she got on the phone. She goes, I said, can I speak to Alan? Not Dr. Heidegger. Hey, can I speak to Alan? So-and-so. She goes, who are you? And all, she was kind of abrupt. So anyway, I got on with him. And I said, well, I was involved in this. It was known as the Bentwaters incidents at that point, not Rendlesham Forest. That was recombobulated here in England by a British writer who's no longer with us, Georgina Brunei. And it stuck. It was known as the Bentwaters throughout the 80s. And he goes, which one, 56 or 80? And I go, there was another one. So, I mean, at that point, I thought it was all on one night, the Rendlesham thing. I literally did. I literally thought everything that happened, like Halt went out, Burroughs Peniston and Eddie Cabanasac, they never mentioned him, or Bud Steffens, they never mentioned them, went out and this stuff happened. Halt went out to investigate it with people. We went out there with light alls and stuff because I saw Halt out there. I told him to his face I saw him out there, and he just boom in DC. And I literally believed in the early 80s that it was one night. But because again, I was the only guy out there saying it. Until CNN, Chuck DiCaro did a special assignment that began in 84, and I was the go-to guy on that. I'm the only one not blocked out on that, like an idiot. No one else has spoken again. But Steve LaPlume got up in Massachusetts at a conference. And I think that's the one where I met Bud Hopkins the first time, possibly. And so Steve came up. I had already been kind of known a little bit. And maybe the document was out. And Steve got up on stage and said, yeah, my thing happened. And Larry came to my rec and verified. And yeah, it's still a lot. I've been in the public end of this stuff. How many years is 1983?
Well, it's 20,
82.
26. That's
82,
20,
82.
44 years.
That's terrifying.
Yeah.
82. So, and the events were 45 years ago. And they've been erased, really. So that's what I was hoping with this film, and still hoping that it will be chopped down and done properly, put out there properly, and everyone stops the civil war that's going on in it. And there's really comes down to a degree, one guy. That is this non-willingness to budge, his vision. But his vision is fine. Fine. I'm not a filmmaker. But the vision, as long as it doesn't insult the American Air Force forces and
Yes.
veterans, because China had nothing to do with
Yes.
Rendlesham. And that was snuck in there. And it's like, boy, the hell that would create. Oh my God, that would just. And he just doesn't get that.
Was
He doesn't
almost
get
as
it.
if you remember the old format they did with the UFO documentaries, where for the first, if it was an hour segment, the first 45 minutes have a series of witnesses, experts, recreations, which were all pretty much on the level. And at the very end, they pour, they douse it with cold water and say, well, probably not. That's what it reminded me of, sitting through that 4 hour doco. And then at
That's
the end,
scary.
the whole weird Chinese thing came in, which was a real head scratcher. And I'm thinking,
And
why
that
is this in here? It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't fit, right?
no. And there were some witness, there's some people in it that had that have nothing to do with the events at all. But because he stuck him in there. Now the girls in the car, that's relevant to the incidents. I didn't know about that happening at all. And where the car got turned off, and that was that. Those are actors, in the, and that was well done. That needed to be there. Laura, I would go after it. It just needs to be cut down and made relevant
Yes.
because. People get very upset, I always say you're not Stanley Kubrick, man. You don't have the, and this is not gonna, no one's gonna take this for 4 hours. Now to bring it down, they're gonna submit this to hopefully this company that distributes these type of things. There's a lot of stuff. You can't just put these. I've had people, is this gonna be a YouTube video? And I'm like, no, it's a BFI backed film. It's a shame, man. It's on IMDb. But you can tell people to go look for, and they don't do it. You know, they don't do it. It's a kind of a thick world nowadays, which serves somebody.
If you could
But
pare it
the
down to
film.
two hours, get it onto DVD also. That way he can add all these extras in there. If he really is intent on getting everything in or as much in as possible, he can have a whole slew of extras in a DVD. But a DVD comes
Well, that
after the
exactly.
screening, after the streaming. I mean, there's a
Yeah.
process he's got to go through.
A director's cut and all that.
Yes.
And I've learned a lot about the film business through this. And, you know, I was an extra in movies back in years ago, just for things to do on weekends in New York. But yeah, it's frustrating, man. You know, I mean, I put my ass on the line. Everyone else did too, that are relevant to the events. And you know, it wasn't just a thing. We're taking the risk, not the filmmaker. But it's all about the self in this. And then now other people are pissed off, and they're not going to bend. And it's a war. It's an internal war. And I'm sitting out here going, you know, to get mad, what can you do? It doesn't
Well,
help.
it's the irony that this could have been a
When you take blood
documentary.
pressure medicine, you don't want to do it. You get mad. Yeah, it's the way of it goes. I had a lady I met at a funeral. Funny who you meet at funerals. And she was the head of BFI for British Film Institute for Scandinavia. And she happened to be there. And I told her all this years ago about this film. And she goes, "Give me his email because there's no reason this should be going on this long. Finish it, get it out." And she did contact. And so I don't want to get personal with this because it only serves my enemies if they're even alive now. Yeah, it's a drag, man. Because the average person that's not involved in this would be blown away because it's very human if you cut it down. But then you get to China and people are going, "What the hell is that?" Or, "I can wait. I didn't think women were in your job field." Well, they weren't. Now it's combined security forces, I guess. But women couldn't. We were combatants. They weren't permitted in the combatant role in any of the branches in 1980 or 79 when I enlisted. And they weren't. There were no women at all. They were in law enforcement, like Lori Reifel, see her thing, which happened a year before the events, which people don't seem to understand. You know, I don't know. You can't put all your friends in a film and do justice. You got to stick with the actual, I
And
hate the word time.
well, we were talking also prior to recording.
Yeah.
You had done a disappearing act during the documentary. There's a protracted period of time from the when you first showed up in the
Yeah.
beginning of a documentary, and it was like eons until you made your way back in, which.
I literally forgot at one point in the. See, when you see it on your phone, and I was like, "Oh God, I'm this." So I didn't watch it really close. And then it's a long 4 hours to look at your phone. And then at the cinema on the big screen, it was wow. I literally forgot what I was watching at one point. So I mean, I don't need to dominate be in it throughout, but it does say on the tin, "It's my story," and you know, then there's the supporting people involved in it, and you forget that I did, and I'm in it. I'm like, I just forgot what I was watching. You know, there's meteorites flying around and all kind of these things that don't need to be in the film. It just is. If I feel that way, the average viewer is going to feel that way. You felt that way,
Yeah,
you know. And
that
I
was.
like movies. It didn't hold me. Yeah, I was glad. Yeah, I got some justice there, but you don't even remember the poly that pops in and then that goes. I don't remember the film now at different points because it was just too complex to keep in your head. It's crazy. You know, the thing is, and what this needs to be out is that we have, I don't know if I said it before, Blaze, this they do UFO programs a lot, old ones. I'm on a lot of old ones on it. And there's a program in America. I hope someone that was involved in this. There's a girl named Lori McDonald. I think that's her name. And she's a MUFON person. Clinical psychologist, maybe? I don't know. Well, this thing was about Rendlesham. And you had Doty involved, and you had Jim Peniston involved. So right away, there's problems. Now, there's no image of me or a picture or anything, but it gets to me. You'll love this. And no one even approached me about this. Is this true or not? Which they never do in this subject to start with. But they, she says, and Larry Warren, I know she got this from, is Richard Doty, I'm sure of it, was polygraphed along with everyone else on the base. Well, why would you polygraph anyone after the incidents if they weren't involved? But no one was polygraphed anyway. And I failed. I failed. I took the polygraph about 6 years ago, and I passed in the 98th percentile. And no one has ever taken a polygraph, including me, before this. And they blatantly just said that on the thing. So Larry Warren was lying. And that was probably done to circumvent that. It's been known, because Gary Hazeltine put it out in one of the papers over here back then, which the director got all mad. Why shouldn't I have a little justice here for your vision? I mean, come on. And put it out that I did pass. I think I was 56. I mean, so yeah, nine years or so. So he, this is what they do. So I'm going to have to contact Blaze, even though it's an American production, and say, really, you got to take that off. But I'm not getting any justice, you know, with a polygraph, which should be shown, and the relevant stuff, destroying all the co-author, the trolls, that kind of thing, which I never hear from anymore. They've blown their lids done. But very bad what went through. And I will say this, one good thing is that I'm working with Chris Rosing's. I find writing tedious. You know, I was very young when I did the Left at Eastgate book. And I just wrote it and just wanted to get the chapters out of the way, you know, because it was too close to it at that time. And yeah, the other guy doing his thing, shadowing me basically all throughout. And it's like a John and Yoko record. I won't say who's who, but that's what I've been told. So at the end of the day, I've decided because of all this in the last year, I have the book here. It's propping up my phone, but it's a big one, you know. And I'm gonna, it's not in print now. You can buy it, but it's not in print. I don't see a penny from it. The other guy saw lots of pennies from it, I guess. Yeah, that's why the. It was very simple what happened with us. And also the promise of being on Ancient Aliens if he dumped me and all kind of things. And, you know, he it's all too fast to do it. No problem after 30 years. But that's another story. So what I'm going to do is redo Left at Eastgate. It's going to be on an Amazon thing like Gary's done with Non-Human. But what it's done for me, and I'm going to, it's going to, obviously the other person's gone. Title will be wigged around with a little bit. And what I intend to do is take the best bits from what's the name of the movie again? What is it? Cape of Green.
Oh,
You
green.
see? And yeah, I literally forgot it for a minute. I forgot it halfway through the film. No, I shouldn't say that. I'm not, hopefully it does better if it comes out. And redo the book, condense, keep the original, my original stuff, get rid of a lot of stuff that I didn't even need to put in. You know, when you're new at something, you want to, you know, you don't, you're not a good self-editor. Nowadays, far better. And I'll keep some original stuff because it's pretty fresh. I started writing in 86, so not long after my incident, all that, and keep it original. And then much thinner book. And then some imagery that should have been in, not the crap that's in the original. And some documents, but that bores people. And then quote, I'll do images and quotes from the film and from interviews that didn't make it into the film for some God-known reason and put them into the book. That's all I can do at this point, you know. And that's what I'm going to do. And that'll probably be
I hope you keep a lot of
that.
stuff in it about the underground base part. That was a absolutely
Oh,
key
yeah.
component of the story.
Well, yeah, that will be in. That's not even in the movie, is it? The
No,
medical
I
health
don't
effects
recall it,
aren't.
and for I was disappointed. It should have been in
No,
there, but it
it's
wasn't.
It's not in. He's never asked me about any of that. And also, even back in the early days, he never asked. And then, which I think it was a big narco thing after the fact. You know, it didn't affect what I remember the feel, obviously, because there's scientific proof of what I say happened and medical proof. John Burroughs isn't the only one with health effects. I was on record before anyone. But so that's what I'm going to do. And yeah, I'll keep all that. And I'll keep a lot of the core, but a lot of the, you know, interpersonal or my life and all that, I can't relate to that person now, all these years later. I was a young guy, I was in my 20s. And then just very relevant and use a lot of the film in it, quotes and some image maybe. And if you want, if people want to get legal about it, they can do it. But Chris is a university professor in Toulouse, France. So she's very tight on these kind of things to do. She has very good connections. And we'll get it out. It's different languages for the first time, you know. We had options for Japan, very big thing in Japan in its day, Rendlesham or Bentwaters. And, you know, maybe get the book over there too, because I enjoyed going to Japan. That was amazing. That was one of the good things. I didn't get paid much for it. I could have made 50 grand if I wanted, but I was young and naive. So, but it was the idea to get the thing out, the events out. And that was long before that was 84 there. So yeah, I'm afraid to travel anywhere now, as you know, with the passport. So
After what happened the last time,
I'm not going anywhere. Well, I was supposed to go to Australia. He mentioned, oh, we'll be going to Australia for this, the premiere, the thing you went to. And I'm like, oh, I don't want to fly that far anymore. Got a bad hip, all this old guy stuff, right? And of course, that never even came up again. There was all kind of things that's gone on. So the book will be coming back out, and it'll be very different, but it's very much the same, but a very different book, the way it should have been had I been older and had all this knowledge I have now about the whole spectrum of events. And there won't be one sighting of the word UAP except when I make fun of those letters and do a
Right.
little piece about what we're talking about today, the false disclosure of the whistleblowers that aren't. People need to define, really figure out what a whistleblower is. Karen Silkwood's a
Yes.
whistleblower, all kinds. I'm a whistleblower. There's so many real ones, and they're not, it's a little club, and we're not invited, apparently.
No. And what they've done, like you said,
To quote George Carlin.
they whitewashed history. Everything is like not AD BC, it's post Tic Tac. It's like nothing happened before the
Well, has
Tic Tac
anyone asked
videos.
this Jeremy Corbell nouveau character in the subject with the beard? Has anyone asked him why he's doing this? Because I'd love to sit down in a room with him and test him on this history of the subject. Even me, I know a lot about it. I got interested in the subject, even though I've had a lifelong of experiences, which are in the book, with something. And I'd say you mentioned the wave of 73. And I think 71, I did a book report about a UFO over Brooklyn. And it was a scholastic book. My dad did the book cover. I wish I had that still. I don't know where that is. And then, but I started to get interested in the subject for no, I'm not from a family that has interest in UFOs at all. I can't think of one family member, even relatives, distant, that other than they know my thing with this, they're always interested in that, but that are literally interested in the subject. I can't name one. And I think my nephew kind of is. I don't know, but I haven't seen him in a long time. But I would, what was I saying? The UFOs interest. What did I see? What happens, folks? You
Yeah,
hit the
you
stage.
did that book report, or you wrote that thing back in
Well, by, oh, well,
71.
you mentioned it. You mentioned the wave of 73,
Yeah,
and
that was a big
I
one, yeah.
took my, it was huge, man, and it was on the news, that helicopter in Ohio that had the Army helicopter. I remember that on the
Yeah,
news.
Lawrence
I remember
Coyne, yeah.
Charlie. That's right. I remember that, and I can remember on national news back then, like Walter Cronkite and all that kind of thing. And I also remember that Charlie Hickson, and who I knew, both Charlie and Calvin Parker, Hickson and Parker, knew Charlie much better in person. Met Calvin when I was in Louisiana many years ago, and we did a
Pascagoula
thing.
alien abduction right there
They
on.
took me right to that dock where that happened, and the guy I wrote my book with too. We were doing a thing with Stan Friedman. He's another one they don't mention, Stanton. Him, Charlie, and Calvin, myself, the co-author, and I forget who else is there. We did a show called In Contact, which is on the internet, please. So campy, it's amazing. But we did it with this guy, Bill Robinson. He was the first reporter to interview those two guys. So I got to know Charlie through East Coast conferences kind of well. He'd speak. He was a lovely man, very simple guy. And then Calvin, I met down there because he had just started to surface. And I know both are deceased now, so. And that was they took us right to where it happened, where they stood on that cement pier and they were fishing and where this thing landed. Yeah, it looked pretty much, I guess, as it did then. So I was intrigued, and I had my brother, may we get this allowance, as kids did back in the early 70s. I'd go down this newspaper place, they had the girly mags on the top. Sadly, I couldn't reach them. And then they had some books. I don't know how and magazines started to come out called UFO Report and Saga's UFO Mag. Oh, I had to have them. So I would buy those. And I got a book that really set me off called, I forget, by Ralph and Judy Blume. And it was, I forget the damn title. It had those, so like that guy that took the picture of Silverman. He looks like he's
Yeah,
in a fire suit.
that was Ralph Blum's book,
That's right.
UFOs Beyond Earth. I had the book.
Oh my God, that was it. I was hooked. And then not realizing and putting together things that had happened to me as a child, even in the daytime, by the way, throughout my life, and every now and then today, these days. So I've had the phenomena in my life, all my life. I don't know what it is. And I'm not unique in that. I used to go to Bud's support group things. You always hear about at his townhouse in New York. And I knew a lot of, there were a lot of celebrities, all kind of people that were abductees, or they believed they were. But it just got this, everyone had this victimhood about them. And Bud was a wonderful guy. I mean, he taught me a lot about painting, actually, because I love his art. I'm kind of in that style myself. And I would go out. I couldn't take all the victimhood. I'm not making fun of anyone. It's just too heavy for me. So I go out and drink wine with Bud's first wife, April Kingsley, who was an art critic for the New York Times, I believe. And she hated the subject and all this going on. You see it recreated in Communion and these hangs, where people would sit. I didn't see how it would accomplish anything. I didn't like the reality of starting to spring things forward. And I was regressed by Bud more than once. And, he's no fool. So when the co-author says I was lying about everything, well, he's insulting his dear friend, Bud Hopkins, and by the way, Bud did a book called Art, Life, and UFOs. And it's a bio, and then Bud passed away. And it's about his art career, his life, how he came up from Virginia to New York. And he was with all the 50s and 60s kind of real artists of the time, modern artists. And Rothko, all these people. And they're all in that circle. And funny enough, in his bio, the guy wrote my book with, who was his dear disciple and worker, he's not even mentioned in a credit. But I know why. There were some bad things. Bud got remarried. He was with Leslie Keene. Need I say any more?
Yes.
Okay. And at the end of his life, and there was a lot of nonsense. There were a lot of skullduggery. Regressive tapes being sent along. I think we've covered this before to Charles Holt. Well, Bud was deceased, by the way. So that wouldn't have happened had he been alive. And My co-author assisted in that, and Leslie helped facilitate it. Bada bing, there you go. Because I mentioned names, I've never recalled that Holt wanted, and they provided them. So I was being undermined and not really knowing it. My son's mother knew. She suspected things before they came to bear. This is how dark this subject and some people in it are. It's really quite a thing to see. I could bitch about it all day, but
You
a
mentioned
lot of it's in
William.
the past.
You mentioned William Moore earlier, and it deserves to be mentioned. You know, I think it was at that conference you met him at, or another one on the East Coast, where he admitted to the audience that he had fed disinformation, what he claimed to be disinformation, to another researcher, namely, if memory serves, Paul Benowitz. So he was in cahoots. He
Exact, yeah.
must have been in cahoots with Doty to undermine,
Oh, yes.
eventually ruin Paul Benowitz's life, right?
They were in cahoots, but no, he didn't do that at the, that was the MUFON 40th anniversary of UFOs, right? It was in 87. He was there. I don't know if he spoke. I know I had problems with Walt Andrus, was the head of MUFON at that time. And eventually he was okay. He's an old guy, old school kind of people, but you wouldn't trust him. They said they voice stressed. I've been voice stressed, passed all them. The co-author had me voice stressed, and I passed all them. Even by law enforcement, he doesn't mention any of that. Doesn't bear well on his research skills. But I was at that. I can't remember the speakers, but I had to have a paper, and I don't speak. Go up when I do these things or did them with a script or with a pre-written thing. I just go up and whatever happens, happens. Some are good, some aren't so good. Over the years, I end up cracking jokes half the time because I'm like, it's like the same song you had that hit back in the 60s and you're doing the circuit, the oldie circuit. It just gets really mundane after a while. And people want to be entertained, and it's not really the entertainment business now, is it? So that's a lot of that in this subject, by the way. Entertain me. Entertain me. So I spoke, but I threw the paper aside and said, I'm not going to do this thing. Because to speak at MUFON, someone pushed me forward to do it, and I had to be accepted and all this crap they told me. And I'm like, look, I've been through the thing. I don't need to submit a paper to anybody. So I get up and about 20, 10 minutes, 20 minutes into it, it was packed hall, about 800 people, probably 700, 800. And it was hot as hell in Washington. And I said, well, I'm not going to do this. Well, next thing I know, I'll just tell you whatever I told. And next thing I know, MUFON thugs come out and, ooh, and turn the mic off and throw me off the stage. And I said, well, if anyone wants to hear what I got to say, I'll go out in the lawn and I'll tell you what I was going to say. And the whole place emptied out and followed me. And I think I was banned from MUFON forever, though I did speak for MUFON Denver when the book came out 10 years later. And they seemed nice, but I guess they're not too nice. It's the MUFON thing, isn't it?
Yes, it
They're
is.
not nice. It's a not a nice outfit.
They're individual. Back in the day, I don't know anything about them now, but
Yeah.
back in the day, there were individuals well known in the field that were consultants to MUFON that were very good. But then when
That's
you
right.
get
I
down to
agree.
this, when you start meeting the state section directors and then the state section group directors for given locales, not so good.
Yeah.
There was one guy I met. Where was it? It was somewhere in some suburb of LA somewhere. The guy didn't even believe in aliens or non-human beings. I'm thinking, and I'm thinking,
It makes you
yeah,
wonder.
what's this guy doing being a section director for MUFON if he doesn't even believe? But I've heard some stories about Andrus, Walt Andrus, and for those who don't know, like the younger crowd, he was the leader essentially of MUFON back in the day. And his shadiness to
Mein
me is
Führer.
he seemed to me from back then even as being some kind of agent for the dark side, if you will. And it's
Oh,
interesting,
absolutely.
if you listen to some of the old timers here in Australia, they practically spit when they mention Ross Coulthart's name, because
Oh, I know. Yeah, he's
they
bad.
remember him from before he got interested in UFOs. In fact, he was a skeptic about UFOs. And
Of course.
I stopped reading his book in the first chapter when he said there was has never been a comprehensive disinformation, ridiculing, debunking program against UFOs, which is nonsense. We know since the Robertson panel in 53 that that's been going on at least that far, right? So I just closed the book right there because, you know, this is like a children's book as far as I was concerned. So to have a
I
smarmy
didn't know
guy
he
like
had.
him.
Smarmy is the word. I didn't know he had a book, and I won't read it. But he, of course, I have only. I did say on that show we did, train wreck of a show, because he got me pissed, really pissed off right at the beginning, on purpose. He knew what he was doing, and I knew what he was doing. And poor Steve Longero, who has no media experience, though he's retired law enforcement with this subject or media experience at all, probably. I don't know. And he started jam him up, and I'm like, this ain't happening to my brother. And I did say to him, I don't think he got the irony, cold heart, because he's so far up as Jack. But I said, well, why don't you come to England sometime and I'll take you around and show you what the score is. Oh yeah, he's trying to be friendly at the end, and I'm like, I'd love to meet that guy, but
And
he's
yet,
just a snake in the grass. He won't
he
be
is.
around forever.
He's been maneuvered into a place, position,
Oh,
where
absolutely.
he's now the go-to guy, where all the
I know.
whistleblowers go to. And they did studies years ago where they found out that Americans in particular respond better to people with British and then later on with Australian accents. That's why, if you remember back in the day, in American television, there was only a handful of channels. Like the furniture
That's right.
commercials would be the narrator would be like an English woman or an American,
Yeah,
not or a
right.
British man, right?
It gets your
It
attention,
gets your
and
attention, and that's
you
part
think,
of this
well,
psychology of getting cold heart in there because he's an Aussie. We think of,
they're so smart. They sound so classy that they must know everything. Let me throw my soul to the devil. So yeah, that was an experience with that guy, and he had no intention of hearing what we had said at all. And we were doing, here's another one, we were doing it. That was something the director of Cable Green came up with and kept harassing, the back and forth emails. And I just knew by the tone of Colhart's emails that he was hostile already. And so I didn't think we'd do the show, but he wanted to promote his film. Sent it to him. Oh, I haven't had a chance to see it. Of course, he watched it. And of course, he sent it on to other people. We know this because the director did not. I know people that tell me little things, and I trust them, and I know who has the film now because of Colhart. And the director did not protect his product. He
No,
didn't do
no.
it.
He made the ultimate rookie mistake of sending the entire documentary
Entire.
to the other side, essentially, right? So
Absolutely.
now, like, apparently certain members of the opposition party, let's say, key players have got it. So that's like playing poker
You've
and you're
heard
wearing mirrored sunglasses, you know?
you've heard that too, that others got it, because I have. Yeah, I know people have seen it. I know Holt's seen it. So there you go. And it's so shocking, and oh, you wouldn't do that in our industry. What's been done? So I'm glad you
Is it
verified
any
that, because I've
wonder,
been told it.
and is it any wonder that what we're hearing is that Holt or someone behind Holt is insisting that his part be cut out of the film. And his part is
Oh,
absolutely
absolutely.
critical because in it, he's quoted as saying, you can see it for yourself. He's pointing to a spot at the base where an alien was seen, right? So
Well,
he's proving what a
that's
hypocrite he
gonna,
is.
they can do what they want, but these things will be seen. I will tell you that. And but they're not saying they have it, because obviously legality, and their names would be, that shows Colhart to be what he is. And the people he's, sending things to. And he did. He did. It's so you've heard it. I've heard it. I know certain people have seen it. And it's out and about. I think on one of those, what are they called? The bullet-shaped things, and you plug it into your computer.
Yeah, the thumb
So
drives,
that's
flash
gone,
drives.
something like, and that's, so I know it's out. And they're having trouble accepting all this. And I'm like, listen, I know from an excellent source that has been put out there. Now, they're not going to put it on the internet or all that, because right, because they'd be like, we know where it comes from. There's only one source for it to be out there that I'm aware of. You know, it's very bad. I don't even own a copy. I hope they allow me to one day. The 2 hour 45, and they've cut this down. It apparently works really well, and it's relevant. All that crap we mentioned before isn't there. And of course, because the director has all the things you need to edit and do all that, the original stuff, it's kind of a rough cut. But I'd rather a rough cut be out there and seen, because it serves me, really, doesn't it? I don't care if the soundtrack skips at one time or another. I could care less. It's about what people are saying,
Yes.
not special effects. And which people go, does it look just like that? I go, no, it didn't. You know, it's interesting, you know, to create an image, but no, how could you recreate that? You can't do it. But it's, you know, good try, but too much time was put in all that. If it was just an interview type of thing, it would have been much better, you know, for the event. And this is the false narrative keeps continuing. Well, it doesn't, because no one talks about anything anymore. But with as long as the interviews in this film aren't seen, and not just the polygraph, you know, that's me on a personal level, or anything else, you know, the
Well, the
scientific
scientific part,
evidence.
the scientific part, where the exact
I
same
know.
spot that you pointed out where the landing
That's right.
occurred, to this
That's right.
day, there are
That's right.
unknown isotopes there. I mean,
Yeah.
it's not
Yeah.
even on the periodic table. There are isotopes
No,
there that
the,
they haven't been able to identify, as far, if I remember correctly. But there were strong,
that's true. Yeah,
yeah, there were
that's true.
strong
So,
hotspots to this day at the exact same spot that you said it happened at.
and that guy did all kind of, I don't even understand the science. He's very skeptical. I think he's kind of a skeptical person on the subject. I met them only once, one time. I wasn't there when they concluded. He was doing all kind of like 10,000 readings or whatever the hell they did with things. And it's not just Geiger counter, it was all kind of stuff I don't understand. But yeah, it just triangulated right into within feet of where I've always said it happened. I told the co-author in 88, I go, it was right there, because I could tell the finger of trees in the dark. I could see the house. So I pretty much knew the area and sat in, what I saw.
Well,
Yeah.
there was a Travel Channel episode. I don't know if you remember that TV program in America. It was a Travel Channel, you know, talking
Yeah.
about the restaurants and cool places to visit. For whatever reason, they had a segment about Bentwaters. And there you were. You were wearing like a big, like a duck down kind of, you know, overcoat. And you had like
Oh.
boots on. And you said, well, ground zero. And you loped off. Is right around here, and you stood in a bare patch of dirt, because as you
Yeah.
know, one of the common features of landings is like things don't grow there anymore. Weird things
Nothing's ever
happen.
grown there.
Yeah,
Yeah.
and then
That
later
we
on,
found out you're
I'll go ahead.
I didn't know I was on the Travel Channel. Sorry, I didn't
Yeah,
know.
you were.
Where's my check? I didn't know. I always have people, I saw you on TV. I go, what was this one? They mentioned things. I go, I don't even remember doing that. It's a long time, a lot of years. But yeah, that's you know, the farmer field, and they worked with the production of this film, the people that own the land, which is because there's 8 foot high fences now. You can't get from the forestry line into the field now. So we had to come through on the other side on like Halt Second Field, which is across a road. I never knew where that was now. And yeah, there's all kind of, and they had to bring in dirt over the years. They have different crops they've tried. Nothing in that area is productive, 50 feet or so. No.
We've seen
Yeah,
that in
it's
other landing trace sample cases where the soil wouldn't absorb water anymore,
yeah, it's
or like in the case,
exactly.
yeah, or the case of the crop circles, weird
Well, the
anomalous
co-author,
things
yeah, the
associated
co-author
with
had
the
that,
plants.
sorry,
Oh
the
no, I'm
guy
just
wrote the
pointing out
book
that yeah,
with,
it's strange.
yeah, it's very common. The guy wrote the book with back in the late 80s. We took soil samples in 88. He did. And we knew a guy named Matthew who deals with that kind of thing. And he came back with anomalies, and then it was done again in about 1990, and he came back with more anomalies, like it was quite, and but because he's friends with the co-author, none of that ever happened, even though the paperwork's in the book, which apparently never happened. These people are stunning. And people go, oh, okay, I must have imagined. Yeah. So it just continues. And they're proven wrong over and over. But yeah, it's not helping with the film. And you're in the film. Thank you. And but right now it's in a dark place,
Yeah,
which
it's
you
in
would
limbo at the
expect that.
moment.
It is, and it didn't need to be. And it just, but this guy isn't gonna back down. And so therefore I can't put my name to the CCP. I can't do it. That and just anything that isn't accurate, I can't. Like a woman in our job, there wasn't. And it sounds like a little thing. Like Bastinza's on the wrong side of me. And I wasn't there when that was filmed. I said, listen, he was not to my right, I think. I forget how they put him, but he was the opposite to that. But it's a little detail, and they go, oh, it doesn't matter. I go,
It's
it
a
does
big
matter
deal because if he had a counterpart of that era who worked at Malmstrom or someplace and said, wait a minute, we didn't have women in our
No,
back then. This is, they'll throw the
no.
baby out with the bathwater just based on one faux
Well,
pas.
yeah. One little thing, just a positioning of another witness was. I wasn't there when it was filmed, as it wouldn't happen, and I made it very clear how we were. But they just, went on, did what he did, And I'm like, well, that's not accurate. And I've written how it was and the positions over the years said, and people say, but how come you allowed that? Right, and so there's things I'm not happy with there.
As far
No.
as having any kind of say in the production and the final editing of the documentary, well, the state of limbo it's in speaks for itself. Because if he had anything to do with it wouldn't be in the state of limbo, and it certainly wouldn't have all that weird Chinese stuff at the end. And
No, and I made it very clear to the its maker and everyone else involved, the shareholders, whatever they call this thing, shares of nothing. They that's got it. I've made a big list. The not a big list, but these things need to go, and they've been dealt with in is vanity, really, isn't it? At the expense of the real events and people. He probably doesn't see it that way, but it's a disaster on that level. I hate that. I wish I could be saying this should. When was it? This some version of this should be streaming right now. It should be out there so people can see it. Friend or foe, they should be out for them to see it. And it's
right.
being kept from them. And not by the government, not by Charles Halt, not by anyone. It just should be out there. And it isn't.
Oh, it's a
Boo-hoo.
shame because, I mean, now more than
I'm not
ever,
surprised.
we need Bentwaters to be out there again
Yep.
as a leavening force against what we're seeing with these disclosures. And they've added another term into the mix, the drones.
Oh, please.
Now,
Oh,
every
yes,
time
drone. They love drones.
they love drones. So now, when you have these anomalous sightings over air bases and nuclear
It's drone.
facilities, oh, they're just drones now, right?
Well,
So,
they were shutting bases here down, Lake and Heath and all that were this past year, I mean, because
yes.
of drones. Heathrow has been shut down because of drones. And people love to use the word. And they love to use TR-3B, and they love to use
Yes.
Project Bluebeam, and they love all
Yes.
these unproven, fanciful, show me proof. No, how dare you? Yeah, so it's you're dealing with a mentality that is, it's a new mentality. It's not a
It is.
long
That's it. There's no
span
institutional
of
memory.
attention.
See,
No.
you and I'm only like 3 or 4 years younger than you. So you and
Yeah.
I were like, I don't want to say we're the last of a dying breed,
Old
but
fools, we
old
are.
fools, but there's not many of us
Yes.
that are bringing up the rear, so to speak, right? Because
No,
back in the
no.
day, I was happy. I mean, if I went to a conference, you remember what it was like. You get a little
Yeah.
cheesy catalog, you thumb through it later on when you're at home.
It's great. It's
I'll
great.
send $40 for this audio cassette for a 30-minute lecture, right? Or at the conference,
I
well,
know. I
I've got,
know.
remember the format? It was like you have the regular general public lecture, and then you get the workshop, right? And the workshop is where they stick you for more money, and it would be a smaller,
Yes.
more intimate kind of crowd. And I've seen
Jim
John
Beckley
Lear.
was John. Jim Beckley used to do, rest his soul, he used to do
I knew Tim.
fantastic.
I knew Tim. I went to his conferences in San
Oh,
Diego.
he was, yeah. And do you remember we got the one we got kicked out of one hotel one night? I don't know why the conference got kicked out, and we had to go to another hotel in San Diego. And I met you in San Diego in a different thing, wasn't
Yeah,
it? With
yeah.
the
San Diego
Mr.
UFO
Estes,
Society.
the
Yeah. Oh,
was that it?
Estes, yes,
Okay.
right. Estes was your manager at the time. It's a whole nother
That's
story.
what he kept. He wasn't really. He's not the first to claim that manager. No, but he was definitely, what a strange individual that guy was. He's no longer with us either, I guess. I didn't do it, but there was the characters
The characters.
out there.
And it's almost a good thing that there was no internet back then, because if you can
Thank
imagine the
God.
whack jobs that were around back then, what they would have been putting out on the internet and the way they would have been
Well,
flaming everybody.
there was one called AJS Rail, Sally Rail, and she used to write for Omni, and she was another crafty little character, disingenuous, kind of weird. She was a California gal. She vaporized. I think I met her. They don't last long, do they, really? And but now you've got the Corbell guy. I don't want to keep focusing on him. But if anyone drives me crazier than him, I don't know who could. Like the Bob Lazar documentary he did. And it's really about him
Yes.
sitting in his, well, I think he's just some LA rich kid that, I'll go do something, with mom and dad's money. I don't know. Never see any value of it. And just him yelling and just the smugness, the FU word all the time. And how George got hooked up with him, because I like George. I met George a few times in England and in America years and years ago, before probably he was with Bob Lazar. I don't know. Well, I met Bob Lazar when he still worked in Area 51, and he did. I saw all his IDs. And, I was there the weekend he got in trouble. So that was in 89, March or February, I don't remember. So I've been around them all, and a lot of them aren't around anymore.
Yeah,
But the
that's what
ones that
worries
are,
me. That's what worries me, because if there's no one around that has the historical mindset, the historical bent that we have, then all that information, oh, sure, people can go to Dolan and people like that, a dark journalist does some
for a
good stuff too
fireside chat.
for a
You can have a
fireside chat.
fireside chat with for $25.
Yeah.
It's worth every penny. I'll bring along. Richard will put it on. Bless his heart. I mean, that's they just start believing they think it's showbiz, really. It's they become personalities. And then we have, which is sad, I didn't want to bring him up, but who's been dastardly over the years. Who we were friends. I knew him when he worked at MOD in 95. I met him. And he thought I was military intelligence. I'm like, please, they will never have me.
Pope.
Was Nick Pope, which what's happening now. He's put out a statement that he's stage 4 cancer, which, listen, I wouldn't wish that on anybody. And that it's a shame on that for his family and all that. I wouldn't, like I said, I wouldn't wish that. But he became a personality, and there's no substance. But I'm not going to focus on Nick right now, obviously. I wouldn't get the same courtesy, by the way. I'm just going to
Yeah,
say that
and
by any
as
of
far
them.
as getting the information out, General Patton
They'd be
had this
happy
old
I was.
saying. Patton used to say, "A good plan executed violently today is better than a perfect plan executed perfectly 2 weeks from now." Right? Because he
Well
understood the
said.
concept of the unforgiving minute. If you got a minute's worth of business to make up, you better run. And
That's right.
so rather than like getting
Great
every
general.
single like T crossed and I dotted on this documentary, this long-suffering documentary, just throw it out there. Because the point of relevance, the reason I brought up the story about the catalogs or the cassettes, we were happy back then to have like a little article, to have a little cassette to listen to. You know what I mean? And even if
Do you
the quality was kind of grainy and kind of scratchy, it's like
That was great.
that's what it was like then. We were happy. We ran up god-awful phone bills. But that's
Oh,
what we did. And
yes.
then when we get a
That's
cassette
what
of
we did.
something, we would dupe them out, send them to all our friends in the field. You know, nowadays everything's
I didn't get
internet.
that. I didn't get that wrapped up in it, but I did copy the whole, because I brought the whole tape into America and gave it to CNN. I got it in Japan. Over here in England, they were the little researchers here. It's a dreadful. England is about 1958 now with the subject. I hate, that's really where it is here, and it's never really. It's so far behind any, even the UAP. It's just behind, way before that. Now it's way in the past. It lives there, and the press here controls the subjects so heavily, they always have, and unless they can do a silly story on it, on anything. UFO spotters, enthusiasts, I love that one. I've never been enthusiastic over any of this,
Oh,
but
believers, that's another one.
it's like train spotters, and but that's England. That's always been that way, always will be, hasn't changed. And I can remember there was a guy, I don't know if you remember Pat Marcantilio in New Jersey, and
I
he would
still
have
remember
these
him.
conferences, and he was so funny. His How he would advertise his conferences, where they looked like ransom notes, literally things post taped and photocopied. And then he did something, a riff on Disneyland, like Mickey Mouse is an alien, and he got sued by Disney. Never forget. And he was just this postman in New Jersey. So, and that's where Al Bielek, I remember meeting him. And I remember, oh, so much, so many characters, God, whatever you believe. But they were cool, you know, it was funny, they were harmless. The subject was very insular. I knew Bob Oexler through all that. He was a good guy. And I still talk with his son, Dan. So it's, a lot of good ones are gone. You know, a lot of the good
Yes.
guys. Stan Friedman was a good friend of mine. He said, I'm sorry what's happening with me and the co-author. He was a very decent guy, and I'd be the last guy you'd think Stan, but he said, no, he's very conservative. I know some people, he doesn't like Bob Lazar and all that. I don't know what to make of that there. I don't know how we have UFO things. I've seen in my life, and I've seen far more than Rendlesham. I don't know how these things can, Roswell something, definitely they got. I don't know what. But I believe it was something happened. There was something there. But all these objects, like in Korea, being built a building over it, I gotta see some. I don't know about any of that. You know, it's like they fall out of the sky. Things like these phenomena, it's like magic to see it up close. It's just, how can we grab that and do things with it? Or I don't understand that, and I'm not clear to know. I don't know about a lot of things that. But nowadays, it's, oh, now what's the newest thing is that Trump is going to make an announcement. Who knows? He's going to make it. He won't make any announcement. And they're naming dates and all. They just keep, oh, just hanging. I remember in 1983 or two, Larry Fawcett, who was a researcher, folks, on early on Friendship in America, and he said, "Don't worry, Larry. It's all coming out in 1985." Yep.
Oh,
Didn't hold your breath, did you?
they just keep kicking the can down the road.
Well, that
You know,
keeps the business going, you
it
know,
keeps the
and be, you
business
know,
going.
it keeps your viewers, and it keeps your, what are they, likes or whatever they're called. And that it's just, you know, Trump isn't going to make any announcement
No.
about any UFOs on the 26th of any year. He's not going to do it. He doesn't believe in the subject, and they probably wouldn't clear him in on anything anywhere.
No.
Whatever you think of him, I mean, he's got other issues going on, and that's just not going to happen. And people instantly believe these things on the internet. God, I think we've just dismantled the UFO subject. Sorry, UAP subject,
UAP subject.
and it needs to be, actually. And
Well,
other
it needs
people
to be.
think the same way. But we're a minority voice now. I was talking about it with Tino that works on the film, and I said, you know, have you noticed just what we're saying? Like, if you notice, you don't hear anything about Rendlesham. Forget me,
No.
anything.
No.
That's it used to hear a lot about it. Nothing.
It's not only virtually unknown, it seems, amongst the younger UFO crowd, but
You very much, yeah.
there seems to be a level of disinterest. It's that they don't care about it, like it's not
No,
relevant,
it's well that happened to those old people. I mean, the youngest guys in the Rendlesham thing are now like myself in our mid-60s. It's horrible. But I noticed that it's like, oh, that's old, the old people thing. Of course, today's generation, God help them, they're really, well, they're in trouble. But, yeah, the history of it, I don't know. In books, they don't read books. But yeah, I miss the days of ransom note advertisement, characters. I kind of brought a little Keith Moon to the subject because this is a party and we did back in the old days. And I can tell you stories about funny stories about some people with some names that
I want to
you
hear it
think,
sometimes, because
oh, I
like
guess,
if you
yeah,
remember in the old days.
off.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I no, go ahead. I'm not going to
Well,
get
I
in
was
any
just saying
trouble.
in the
We
old
had
days,
fun. We had a lot of
it
fun.
was always like the meetings after the meetings that were the most informative and the most fun. It was like one time, I was in a
Go
hotel
ahead.
room. Bud Hopkins was there.
Yeah.
Several abductees were there. It was just people, people are sitting around wearing socks and. Barefoot,
Yeah.
just having like a indoor kind of
A
a,
hand.
a
Yeah.
hang, basically. And it was always the
Yeah.
meetings after the meetings that I derived the most benefit from, where I got to learn the most. It wasn't the 45-minute lecture and then the workshop after that. It was just hanging out with people. And that was sometimes I just went to conferences just to do that. And getting back to Beckley, I used to like for Beckley, I
Oh,
would
they were
volunteer.
insane.
Oh, they were insane. Like nothing against Tim, but there were some people that
They were.
called his conference Beckley's Three Ring Circus, right? And
They were.
they were,
Yeah.
because I used to
It was
volunteer
fun.
for like to do the door, for some of the lecture rooms. And then if you work as a volunteer for two or three lectures, and then you get a pass for the rest of the conference, right?
That's
So
right.
that's
That's
what I
right.
used to do. I would just rock up to these places and I'd volunteer for Tim
Did
and.
you? Did you? I did the San Diegos for Tim maybe twice, and then I did you go to the Mesa, Arizona ones in
No, but I
Phoenix?
did the San Diego ones. I did the San Diego.
Yeah. Well, we got there was something in San Diego where the hotel kicked us out, the conference out. I don't know why, and I think there was a new hotel. We had something. Maybe we weren't at that one. And then in Mesa, Arizona, I can remember in this hotel. It was part of Phoenix outside it. We sound so international, don't we? But I used to do a lot of travel and road work for this subject, didn't we?
Yeah.
And I remember one time, Bill Cooper, a lot of people bring him up. And I knew Bill personally. I knew Bill since 88. He called me, I don't remember why, on the phone. I was living in New York City. And so I got to know Bill at conferences. He was the big thing. He's deceased again, via bullets. So it happened. And the government didn't kill him. I've heard all that.
Yes, he was
It was
killed.
a,
It was a shootout with deputies. It was his fault,
that's
basically.
right. Yeah, totally. And they were serving a warrant over garbage, believe it or not. On so anyway, but people, all the government, yeah, I said they did not. It didn't. But anyway, Bill, there's a big dude. You'll love this. And I can tell you this one. Do you
I
remember
crossed
a guy
paths with
named
him.
Eric?
I cross name who?
Yeah. A guy named Eric Beckjord, and he used to deal with Bigfoot and all this, something like that.
The name is
So he
familiar, yeah.
was this, he, they might be all deceased now. We went to, he was another big guy, physically big guy. And so we're in one of Tim's conferences in Mesa, or it was Dago, I don't remember. And probably Mesa, Arizona. And there were many levels to this hotel. But so there was a big party in Tim's room. He had these multiple rooms, the suite. And we're all hanging out in there and all kind of people, I forget who, but Cooper's there, and he had a, and he got in an argument over something with Eric Beckjord, and they started physically fighting in the living room. Beckjord goes, "I'm not going to take that from a guy with a wooden leg." And Cooper took it off, pulled his leg off, and started beating him with it. Never forget it. And I'm trying to
Holy
get
cow.
break it up, but I got thrown to the couch, and I landed on Al Bielek. This is true. Now, Al was nodded off, which, the time traveler folks, he was a
Yes,
famous
yes.
time traveler. And Al was, see, I can do comedy on this. True story. So I went to grab Bill and them, and they're way bigger. And off I went flying. And I landed. Al was napping, which he would travel and then fall asleep instantly. I don't know if he had narcolepsy. He was asleep in a chair, and I landed on him, and I didn't hurt him, you know. And I said, "Al, fire up the time machine. Let's get out of here." And he goes, "Okay, Larry," and fell back to sleep. You can't make it up. It happened. It was so much. And then I'm in the hot tub with a couple ladies, and I remember why. And Bill's walking on one of these. And he started throwing beer cans down like missiles at us. That was exciting. And then a police helicopter came and put its beams down on us. It was all craziness.
No wonder you guys were kicked out.
I remember I met Howard Menger. Remember him? I read his book like
Yes, he was one of the
74.
original contactees.
He was married to the space woman and they cut an album. It was like Les Paul and Mary Ford, but from outer space. And they did, I met Howard Menger and I'm like, "My God, you're a legend. I read your book." And he was really upset about something. He had this model of a UFO, and he someone pissed him off, and he pulled out a 45. He goes, "I'm not taking shit from anyone at this conference." And I'm like, "Geez, put the gun down, Howard." Oh, the characters. One woman came looking for me with a crossbow. That was a great time at one of Tim's conferences. I
Going to
was a
try to
devil
take you
back
out
then.
or what?
It was from the year before, and I never called or something, and I was younger, you know, living the David Cassidy lifestyle. So anyway, so
Spurned
she
woman, so.
literally a sperm woman with a bow and arrow. Anyway, this is absolutely craziness. So I enjoyed those, but I couldn't wait to get back from Tim's because they were just so over the top. I'm like, "Hey, no one's going to take this shit serious, but man, I had a good time this
We had a
week."
good time, like we call it, Beckley's Three Ring Circus. And
Was.
like one time, I did the door at a lecture of this.
He was
Some
the
of his
best, man.
guests, or speakers, I wouldn't have gotten to speak. Let's put it that way. And one of the
Right.
speakers was this gal named Sharula Ducks, and she was
I
there with
remember
her,
her.
yeah, and nice enough gal, but. Her
Yeah.
story was she came from this subterranean civilization,
Of
Mount Shasta,
course.
all this other stuff.
Yes.
And what was funny was the promo photo of her was when she was younger, better looking, right? And then
Yeah.
at the lecture, she was like really old and really overweight. And I'm not making fun of
It's
old
tough.
overweight people. I'm one of them, okay? So
I am too. It's tough living underground, by
it
the way.
is.
You know,
So
it's you need sunlight.
she talked
Oh,
about
bless.
the age regression and how she was like 400 years old, et cetera, et cetera.
Of
And then
course, well, that explains
the unspoken question
it.
that we all had, me included, she must have telepathically picked it up because she said, "So some of you are probably wondering why I look the way I do." Okay? She was
God
big, she
bless
was
her.
overweight, she was wrinkled. And I'm thinking, yeah, it's like
Yeah.
they should have used that technology on you lately, right? So she came
I
up with some
know.
explanation saying, oh, well, maintenance or whatever, but the point being was that was, you have to sift through a number of these types of
Yeah.
speakers at Tim's conference to get the
A
people like you.
lot of them were exact. Well, thanks. A lot of them, I would crack joke because I didn't know what else, no one cared about at Tim's conference. I remember John Burroughs and I did a workshop, which I never was big on those. I didn't really have much to offer other than what I say on the stage. And John Burroughs and I did one. Burroughs, very serious, kind of minded guy, and he was living in Arizona. And we just, neither of us were going down well with this room full of angry old people. I mean, they just were mad at us anyway, even Burroughs. And so I gave out this. Why I did this. You remember there's a drawing, and if you turn it upside down, it'd be this ugly woman or some weird thing. So I
Yes.
just gave them out, and people got furious with that. They didn't laugh. It was such a bad game. And Burroughs started yelling at people, "You've got to get this out and hear what we've got." And they just got more hostile. They walked out. It was not good. and I think they wanted money back. But I love the characters over the years because they're harmless and they never put people down. Is it good? Was it good for the subject? Well, the subject's bad for itself. But some of these characters that lived in my—I knew another guy, Blue Ocean, Blue, who kind of was like a Keith Richards kind of
I
guy that
remember him. I
worked,
remember him. He was at
and
the
he
San
lived.
Diego
He was,
conference.
yeah, he was from Mount Shasta, and but he was also a great drummer. I saw his blues band, but he was a New York guy, not for none. But he told me he was from Mount Shasta. Who am I to say he isn't? With a New York side of it, I don't know, but the characters you meet, and I noticed at Tim's conferences, there were some really good looking older, like new age type women that were speakers, but they're all like ex-hippies, from the 60s and they, years
Tie-dyed
ago.
shirts, the tie-dyed shirts.
And no, but they have the jewels and the crystals and, my space mentor and the Galactic Council, and I'm like, and it's just how it is to them. And there was a guy one time in Laughlin. You'll love this, James. Maybe you won't. There's a researcher here named Dave from Birmingham area, Brummie, England, Birmingham. And he got married at that one or something. And we were this huge convention room at the Flamingo or Aquaria. I forget what the hotel was called in Laughlin. And this new age guy got up. I can't think of his name. He had literally like the space brother blonde hair that you see, that kind of, and a blue space suit and all the whole heck, man. He had it all. And at the end, man, I'm sitting there going, this is outrageous. I'm laughing through the whole thing quietly. But how he ended it was, and he goes, and now I must depart. And I'm thinking, what the hell? The room went dark, and then on the video screen, it showed his head float. Well, I swear, his head, like the Wizard of Oz, kind of looking at everyone, and a dolphin and a rainbow and things over his head, and then a huge explosion. The head exploded like a flash of light. I literally had to pretend I was choking because I had to crawl out. I was laughing so hard. I was literally on the floor. I'm like pretending people are here. I said, oh, I can't, I'm choking. I was pissing myself laughing. It was the classic best thing. It was like Zeppelin. It was the best thing I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah, the stories from
No,
those days. People wouldn't understand. You know what I mean?
no.
They no, they wouldn't. And
I don't know whatever happened to him, but he exploded, and you didn't see him after that.
he
He was the best.
disintegrated. I mean,
He
back
was the
then,
legend. It was the best.
well, back then you would have a big conference, a 2, 3 day conference every month, every other month at least. Southern California,
Oh,
we
as
had
far as I
LA,
know,
San
and
Diego.
oh, of course, in England, I have to tell you, Ben Emlyn Jones,
Oh,
who's
yeah,
over
I
here,
know
and
Ben.
Benny's a great guy, but he seems to be going these talks every weekend or every. And I said to him yesterday or the other day, I said, Benny, I didn't know there were any conferences. He didn't answer that. I'm not invited to them, apparently. I never see anything mentioned at all here at all. There used to be some, Graham Birdsall had them. Gary Heseltine did really brilliant conferences. Then he gave that up years ago. And it's very expensive to put them on, fly people. But no, I don't see anything. They're very small kind of.
Yes.
They're like the Pentridge thing. If you heard of this thing in Wales, the woman's
Yes.
very well spoken,
Yeah,
but I don't know what to make of it.
I've reached out to her. I never heard back from her, but I'd love to get her on the
I don't,
show, Kaz Clark.
yeah, I'm Cass, yeah, she's a very well spoken person, and I don't know what to make of that whole thing. I don't know what to pull together on that, but she's very convincing to listen to. I'm not
Yeah,
one to
well,
judge.
yeah, her story of the harassment sounds real enough because, I've gone
Yeah,
through that, and of
yeah.
course you have, So.
Sure. Well, they're having a conference on that this weekend, I guess. So Benny, or last weekend, Ben's was off to it or is off. But I never hear of anything. Some of the worst people I ever spoke for was up in Glasgow. It was Scottish SPI or something they're called. Absolutely dreadful people. Dreadful. In fact, I got banned from the University of Glasgow at that event about 8, 9 years ago, due to the internet trolls here. I just said, if someone threatens me or my family who were there, I said, I get to them before the security does, which is true. And they made it, it was all a setup. But I went up and spent their money anyway. They deserved it. And that's when
Love
I
that.
knew something. That's when the co-authors started acting weird at them too. And I asked, I want to do an audit on Left of East Gay because I got robbed on the first edition. I think he did too. But on the new publisher, which was the softback 2004, I think it came out, that I wasn't seeing royalties at all. And then I found out why. But I said, I want an audit within a week. That's when his, or within 2 weeks, the manifesto about me he put out. Yeah. And it
When
was
you call it, when you
simple fun.
basically,
I wanted an
basically,
audit.
yeah.
Yeah. And the publisher did a runner too. I just said, well, obviously I can't work with him. He went, oh, I'm going to shut the book down. And I said, well, actually, I'm the principal. And he was telling me, he said, well, we couldn't find anything wrongdoing on your part. They're just a small publisher. They didn't want any part of it. But it was simply because I mentioned I wanted an audit. And I know why now. And literally within a week or two. But a month later, he was at a conference signing copies of our book that he had just incinerated
Well, he was just,
and selling them.
on the gravy train, getting the royalties and the checks from your book all that time,
Well,
right?
he got known through me, really, and he tries to make it like he didn't, but he did. And I've heard about a year ago, he did a podcast with his little friend, someone named Ryan Sprague. He's a wide-eyed child, threatened. I threatened his family. Never threatened his family, him. And it sounded like two high school girls screaming. I mean, literally, it was terrifying, really. It was embarrassing.
Well, I told you one
All
time,
kind of
I'd given your ex co-author, if you want to call him that, my phone number one
yeah.
time, because we
Oh.
were, of all people, he was my roommate at Roswell
Oh, that's
conference.
right. You've met
Yeah.
him.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so what happened was I actually said, oh, one of these days I'll like co-write a paper about Bentwaters with you. You know, never came to pass, which I'm glad didn't. But what happened was he hung on to my phone number, and then
Oh.
years later, I get this
You
voicemail. Remember
remembered it.
the old voice
Of
machines were
course.
like, then you press the button, and then who
Yes.
comes on? But it's the co-writer, co-author screaming and yelling. He thought I was
Wow.
someone else. He thought I was someone else, and he was screaming about some piece of art or something, that
Oh my God.
yeah. And so like I go, gee, that's weird. I thought it sounds like him. I know it's him. But he's got the wrong phone number. He thinks I'm someone else, So
Well, that's not a surprise. I'll leave it at that. He
yeah.
had all, remember the old email addresses way back for organizations in the back of my book, East Gate, and not one of them were correct. Not one. But
Really?
he had, I don't know why I put them in, but he wanted a higher profile on the subject. He was just a local New York City guy
For a
with
while, he
interest. He had
teamed
an
up.
ex
He teamed up with Dolan for a while, and that really, was a feather in his cap. If you remember, he was doing shows with
Oh,
Dolan
yeah.
for a while.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
But I know Dolan did his book, Halt and Woodbridge, published it for him, which dismantles Halt's narrative. And now both pretend it never happened. They never wrote the book, and yet I know people that own it.
Yeah.
And that it gets too bizarre for people. So, like, no, I ain't gonna do that.
Yeah, yeah. It's like there's some people. It's like, I believe in integrity. You know what I mean? It's like what you see
Well,
is what you get. It's like, oddly enough, I'm kind of an introvert. You know what I mean? It's like I do this show only because I'm interested in the subject and I want to get certain information out. But it's like,
I've become one.
yeah,
I've become one.
but I'm not the life of the party, really. I just kind of just
Yeah.
hunker down. I
No,
read a book.
you do good work, brother. You always have. But I have to run for a thing today. I have not for
Oh,
office. I
no.
have to
I
do
gotta let
a
you go.
doctor appointment.
It's getting late.
Oh,
It's always a pleasure
thank you.
talking to you, Larry. Let's catch up
Hey, you
sometime.
too. Thanks. I will come back and complain anytime you want,
Oh, listen.
because it seems.
Let's get you back for more complaining. Tell Ben I
Can
want
I?
to
Well. Oh yes. Go ahead. Tell me.
tell Ben I want to get him on the show to do a debrief about Pinterk or however you pronounce it.
Oh
'Cause he
yeah. I'll send him a message today.
Oh, good, good. All right, buddy. Hey. Let's stay in comms and Godspeed.
Absolutely. I'll let. and same to you and your family. And I'll let you know what's going on this end, but at least you've seen the film
Yeah.
and some semblance of it. And maybe will this be able to? Will I be able to put this
Oh
on
yeah,
my napalm?
put the whole thing out. It's
Oh, I love it. That will
free to
make me
public,
even
you know.
more friends.
Yeah,
More
cool.
friends, more friends, more death threats. Why not? Thanks, brother.
All right, buddy. See you soon. Bye.
Just picture my head exploding with dolphins and rainbows. That's all we can do.
Bright flash and
Take
then
care,
you're
bro.
gone. See ya.
Who needs any more than that? See ya.